Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. It's Monday morning and, of course, we get to talk Texas wheat. Ms. Steely Fischbacher from the Texas Wheat Producers Board and Association joins us this morning. Lots of stuff going on this week. Ms. Steely, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Anytime. The first things first, we're in the heat of planting, the kickoff of the big season. How's reports going from around the area, the planting process getting ready for this next winter wheat crop?
Yeah, so we're about 50% planted based on USDA's projections and 18% emerged. We've been running kind of ahead of schedule compared to our five-year average, and that still holds this week, but we seem to have slowed down our pace. Seems like we got a lot of those acres in early after some kind of spotty rains in some areas trying to chase that moisture, and then it turned off back dry, and so we slowed down. What we've seen in the last week or over the weekend was maybe some showers throughout the panhandle that will help some growers get that crop established. So we might see that speed up quite a bit. We are nearing the October 15th deadline, which is an important deadline for growers who are enrolled in the annual forage program, either through the dual use option where they're looking at insuring for forage and later for grain, or for those who are just, you know, insuring grazing acres through the annual forage policy. So that does have an October 15th deadline for planting and then reporting those acres to your insurance agent. So that is kind of a busy time for some as they're trying to meet that deadline. Aside from that, we still have another month here before we start to see our final plant dates for our multi-peril crop insurance. Mm-hmm. So our revenue protection on most of our wheat is coming up November 15th. So over the next month, we'll be looking for additional moisture to try to get that crop established. Very critical time in this year's wheat crop. As we look at kind of what is the status, well, across the United States, 63% of the winter wheat area is categorized in some form of drought, and that really holds true for the southern plains. So Texas, you know, obviously we've been dry. Kansas and Oklahoma are behind their usual pace in planted acres at this point, just because they do not have the moisture they need to try to get that established. I've been hearing and seeing some reports that maybe some of those producers are going ahead and dusting in that crop, hoping for rain. But that's kind of, you know, lending some support to our markets right now is this continued dryness that we're seeing across the hard red winter wheat area. One thing that I didn't get to cover last week, but we did get updated numbers from USDA for our final 2022 Texas wheat crop. They actually raised our estimate from the August number to 39 million bushels. That is down 48% from the previous year. So we lost about half of a crop from one year to the next just because of ongoing drought.
Wow.
They pegged our final yield at 30 bushels per acre. That's down from 37 the previous year. So it was a combination of reduced acres that were harvested. Either they went to a different use to try to get it out of the field earlier because the drought, the yield potential wasn't there, or they were just abandoned because that was not going to make a crop. So reduced harvested acres, reduced yields, and that crop came in at 39 million bushels. So that's the lowest level that we've seen in the state since 2006.
Wow.
In fact, during the briefing, NAF mentioned that our harvested percentage at 24% was actually the lowest on record for our state. So that's something that, you know, will continue. That just shows the extent of the drought. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have that widespread of a drought for that long, it's really not an easy fix.
Yeah.
So even though we have some areas that have maybe seen some spotty rains over the last week or so, you know, there's still a lot of lingering concerns about the 2023 crop, especially when you look at the kind of the seasonal forecast. They're not very favorable for rainfall. They're calling for warmer trends and then continuation of La Nina, which typically is dryness for our area. So continuing concerns there. In the export market, you know, we had a decent export sales week. Our top hard red winter customers were Japan, Taiwan, Mexico, and Nigeria. We continue to be very high priced in the global market. Our U.S. dollar is still, you know, reaching 20-year highs compared to other currencies, and so that really hurts us in trying to make export sales. But at the same time, we do have tight supplies here in the United States, so it makes sense that we're not sending, you know, large amounts of wheat overseas at this point, just based on that supply, demand, and the price dynamic that we're seeing right now. But that's kind of the information that we've been following from the field and then watching in the marketplace for the last week or so.
One point you brought up, Ms. Delia, that's interesting. We have started getting a little bit of rain last week into the weekend and hopefully this week. Forecasters here saying we have a chance up until tomorrow, Tuesday, with some showers. Is there a point, a spot that where when the rain falls could be detrimental to this early wheat planting?
You know, it's very variable. So I personally have had experience where I've planted a wheat crop and got a rain that really crusted my soil over and did not get the wheat emerged. So that does happen from time to time where a rain can come in and you may have to replant some areas. But I think at this point, bottom line is any rain would be very welcome. We have, especially in those areas where you're dusting in a crop, basically you're putting seed in the ground without any moisture and you are hoping for a rain sometime in the short term. Last year, we had a lot of producers dust in a crop that did not become or did not get emerged until the following year. I even got a text from a farmer in June that his winter wheat he planted in September, October was emerging.
Wow.
So, you know, we certainly want to avoid that. So any moisture at this point, I think, is welcome.
It's part of the game. Now, moving forward, this time of the year, you look at a lot of things, and budget is one of the most important things you look at. High production costs, the issues with the weather, it's very, very important that you maximize how you use your budget. And you guys dug in on that this week a little bit.
That's right. So Texas A&M AgriLife does a really great job of putting together different budget scenarios to try to help producers make those decisions. You know, always in our region and with our crop, we're thinking about, you know, are we going to use this wheat for grain only? Is that our goal? Or should we look at grazing? And what's the price dynamics there? What's my profit potential on dual use versus grain only? And so in the last couple of weeks, they've posted a spreadsheet where you can go in and kind of edit it to put in your individual numbers and see what these scenarios look like for you. But also they did a blog post where they walked through four different scenarios. So grain only, and then two dual-purpose options with either 700-pound or 800-pound stalkers, and then graze out. And so very interesting exercise to walk through and see how those various scenarios played out. There were two that showed a loss for the year. So the two were the dual use with the 800-pound stalkers, and then the wheat graze out. Those two showed a loss. Mainly due to increased production expenses.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about all of those, and those are accounted for in these budgets. They put in increased diesel cost and fertilizer and things like that. But there were two profit scenarios. So that was for grain only, had a $70 per acre profit, and then the dual use with the 700-pound calves at $49 per acre. So again, it's very helpful to see this information presented this way, but the recommendation there would be to go in and put in your own information for your operation, kind of an idea of what your production costs look like, and see what this potential outcome could be for your field. So that information is going to be posted on texaswheat.org. We'll have links to both the spreadsheet as well as the blog post. But really good information to start making those decisions about how we'll manage this crop as we go into the season. At the same time, we know, you know, March is really that decision-making time frame. Whenever we decide if we have cattle out there, you know, what will our final use be for the crop? But good information to have available as you move into the season and start to make those decisions.
Yeah, some tough decisions sometimes have to be made, and the more information, the more intelligence decision you can choose, which is the right path for you. You can find that information if you go to texaswheat.org. texasweed.org. Texasweed.org, you could find that. They have a link set up on that website. Now a little bit of fun. Last week, the Tri-State Fair was in town. Always a great, great tradition and a great ton of fun. And Texas Weed had a big part of that, especially when it came to judging and looking at baked goods. You came out and you did some judging, didn't you, Steely?
Yes, sir, I did. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience, and always one of our favorite things about the fair is that we get to highlight home bakers mm-hmm. and making bread. So we had almost 30 entries in the quick bread contest, and then there was a yeast bread category as well. So really great options and opportunities for home bakers. You know, there was high school students that had entries. And honestly, just a really delicious event when you get down to it. So we did choose a few winners. You know, we ranked first through third in each category. I personally got to judge the quick bread contest, which was an excellent experience. And our winner was actually a pistachio quick bread, which is one that I have never had before. So really very unique and exciting bread that some of our home bakers put together for us, and really great to be able to host and sponsor that contest. We hope that we get to continue to do that in the years in the future, as we have in the past. Good news for our listeners here is that we will be receiving those recipes and posting them. So if anybody ears perked up whenever they heard about a pistachio quick bread, hopefully that will be available very soon on our website, so you can make that at home. But definitely a great opportunity to just highlight the helpfulness and the experience of cooking and consuming bread in the home. And, of course, to award those winners with a little bit of recognition for their effort.
There's nothing like the smell of fresh baked bread in a house, is there?
That's right.
Yeah, that'll just melt your heart every time. And that's the neat thing, too, about Texas Weed. .org. Under the consumer tab, they have an area for recipes, some great stuff. I see the honey wheat dinner rolls or something I'm going to have to try. And I've never been a good baker. My sister's the baker in the family. I'm the cook. But I'm going to give myself a shot at that because they just look so good. And Texas Weed is a great product. Everything from tortillas to blueberry muffins. It's a great family activity. It really is a great time to gather everybody around, young and old, and take part. And as we head toward the holiday season, Texas Weed will play a big part in your holiday baking needs this holiday season. And always fortunate and lucky to have a great product. Steely, it's a busy time of the year. The farmers, the producers are out doing their groundwork, getting ready for this crop. Of course, we'll go through the first of the year, and hopefully we get some moisture that maintains this crop this year. Any other exciting things on the horizon for Texas Weed?
Well, as always, we are looking forward to the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. We still have quite a ways here before we get to there at the end of November, but we have been kind of finalizing our plans for our events there. So that's always on our mind, just as well as continuing to do our regular outreach efforts in market development, research, education, and legislative advocacy.
Yeah, and I always look forward to the Farm and Ranch Show. Texas Weed sponsors a luncheon every year, and they have a great speaker come in to address a ton of subjects on everything from wheat to legislative issues to consumer issues. Always fun. I really appreciate you inviting us from KGNC out to that every year. I do enjoy the speakers you have and just tons of information. So keep your radars up. We'll have more information on this year's Farm and Ranch Show as we get ready to wrap up the year and head out.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Well, Steely, thank you so much for the great information. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday morning right here on KGNC.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC studios. Of course, a huge shout out and thank you to Ms. Steely Fischbacher for coming out, talking a little bit about Texas Weed, as well as David Lovejoy for catching and talking a little bit about Texas Weed with Ms. Steely. Of course, don't forget to catch our afternoon show happening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every day now. Since the Texas Rangers are finished with their season, we'll have an afternoon show every day. So make sure you catch it. Great headlines, stories. And if you miss anything from the morning, We talk a little bit about what happened, some interviews as well, and some more information from the Texas Farm Bureau Network. Make sure that you catch our website for any new headlines, stories, or anything that you need for the agricultural industry. We have updated it, so make sure you catch it and everything else in between. But until this afternoon, I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Monday.